Thank you. So what are some things you're thankful for from last week? So you're thankful for. Now, didn't you know football season starting?
That's what I just said. Okay. It was a season opener. It wasn't as good of a season opener as I thought. But it was so good.
Yeah. Now, did you guys get to wear pads this week?
Yeah. Did you do some hitting? I had to block someone during their pads. That's very good.
Yeah. I'm thankful for the friends because. Just thinking about so many friends get through our life and enrich our life. And just so wonderful. And yesterday I got to talk to Dayu in Beijing.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And I got
Wait,
to
why
talk
didn't you let me talk to him?
You should have talked to him. Okay. And you have to learn Chinese. And I got to talk to Kim. Menono's mama. You remember? Last year they came to visit.
Wait, whose mama?
You remember that Japanese family we went to?
Oh yeah.
We're at the pen together.
They're here.
Yeah.
They're here.
We all say, it's just friendship, we just shouldn't forget.
Where's Chi Chi?
Huh?
Where's Chi Chi?
Chi Chi is also in Dallas.
Does everyone go to Texas and Virginia?
No one goes to Virginia.
Everyone's going to Virginia?
No, but they're going to this.
I was thankful that President Trump moved up in the polls a little bit.
Yes. That's a good thing.
I hope he keeps going.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's going to keep going.
He's
going
to keep going. If he doesn't win by a landslide, I'll be surprised. He's going to win. The media makes it look like.
Joe Biden has the support of everyone. No, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
Winston
Sorry.
Churchill was the oldest president. Just talking.
No, he's like Donald Trump. You must be the oldest president in history. And then Donald Trump's like, what about Winston Churchill?
Well, he wasn't a president.
That's true. He was a prime minister.
But
right.
Is Trump the oldest president we've ever had?
Probably not.
So he's close.
He's 74.
He's 74. I think he is the oldest. I can't think of another one that was that old.
Reagan was pretty old. Yeah, Reagan might be older.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
But when he leaves office, he'll be, what, 78?
Yeah, if he wins re-election.
Yeah, I listened to a comedy. This black guy said, he was talking about Hillary. And Trump was competing, and both of them were 70 years old.
Oh,
so
yeah.
He went back to talk to his grandmother. Said, "Grandmother, get up, do something."
Okay. Approximately.
You're at the perfect age.
Okay, Ronald Reagan was 69 years old when he first got inaugurated, and Donald was 70. So it's very close.
Yeah, it's really close.
So Trump is the oldest.
So he's
yeah,
the oldest.
I mean by like
by just a little bit
by
days,
sheer. Yeah.
Okay. He doesn't seem as old, though, does he?
No, they say he has boundless positive energy.
Yeah.
He's like a real optimist.
He doesn't seem like he's 74.
Anybody that can do that, and put up with all the stuff he's putting up with, and still, they say when you're around him, it's like energy. He really has that.
And he's still got good hair. And everything.
Yeah. That's right.
It's called a wig.
That's right.
I don't think that's a wig.
No, I think it's real.
I
agree.
Really
I think
it
it's
looks
real.
Like that.
Yeah, somehow he's still with his son that's like 14.
It just goes to show you, though, that money can't buy good hair.
That's right. That's true. Yeah, nobody would think Biden's hair is that great, right?
Biden's hair is
ugly.
Oh no, he's known to put in hair plugs, so no, that's a fact. All right, so you're thankful for what looks like a very positive groundswell, which I think is going to happen.
Yeah. Mom, and Joe Biden was like going up, and then Trump went up a little bit.
That's what we were just talking.
I'm thankful for Joe Biden's hairy legs.
TMI.
Too much information.
He said it publicly, so.
Yeah, he did. He's very unfortunately he's very proud of things that I don't know that I would mention in public.
I don't.
Okay. So Chloe, what are some things you're thankful for?
I can't even have one black toenail and the rest are white.
They're not black, they're good. Purple.
They're purple.
Purple.
Okay.
Purple toes matter.
Yeah. Start the question.
So over here, what are some needs that we can pray for? What are some things that you had happen this week that maybe we could think about praying to God for?
Hoping Cooper doesn't get the coronavirus.
Okay, hoping Cooper didn't catch corona. Okay, that's fair. Yeah.
He's sick. He's been sick for like a week.
Yeah, he started sick Tuesday night.
Oh, okay. Is he back online or in school?
They're just online.
Okay.
They go back October 13th.
Okay.
Ew.
Yeah, you guys are already back, but it's like level 4 virus center. Masks.
I'm cold.
It's like virus and everything.
I was going to see if Cooper wanted to wear one of those shields instead of the mask. Is anybody wearing a shield?
Yeah. The teachers are. And it's like, it's
fine. It seems like, if it's me, I'd rather
shield. You
can
breathe more.
Yeah.
I saw a video where they just got a hoodie, and they put, like, one of those things you put on pots and the mask. Maybe the mask, and it just covers
under the mask. I think we need to keep, this is always deal, but we always keep needing to grow.
Okay, got it. Pray for growth. Okay, so Cooper, growth, school, okay.
Cold.
Cold? You pray for the cold?
For this to
be
hotter.
Oh, okay. Okay. Maybe you're right under the blower. If you sat by Michelle, you wouldn't be under the.
Come here, let me call you.
She'll keep you warm.
Right there, you got
to. Right there.
Yeah. This one.
You're like, you're across.
Here,
right,
here.
Blowing on you.
You
you're on this pillow. Side, you're not.
Hold up, pillow. Yeah.
Cool.
Right.
All
right.
Well, that's a good idea. Let's say a prayer. Remember what we talked about. Cast our cares upon Him because He cares about us. So God, we come before You and we ask You with great humility that You'll just bless us with the ability to really cast those cares upon You and let You carry those burdens. There are things on our hearts, Father. Some things are said out and some are just things that we know are inside of our heart that we want to give to You. We ask You, Father, to be with us, be with our study this morning, be with our worship. We ask You, Father, that You'll guide and guard and direct our steps. We're so grateful, Father, for each person that's here. We ask that You will increase our number. May more people come and be influenced for Your good, for the good and glory of Your kingdom. We pray, Father, for school situation, and pray for Cooper and hope that he gets well. Pray, Father, for the many different activities that are going on to try to keep us safe from this virus. And we know that there's a vaccine coming soon, and we know that there's many good practices that have gone into place. And I pray that the politics will subside and people will be allowed the freedoms that they are guaranteed in the Constitution and this great country that You've allowed us to live in, that we can have those back so we can assemble together, we can worship You, we can honor You, and we can speak more boldly, freely about things that You care about, the things that are in Your Word. Father, bless this time that we're together today. And we ask for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So I apologize for the internet issue. It's I don't know why that's an issue right now, but I think I've narrowed it down to one thing, and that's a problem I know how to solve. So when we talk about our needs, we're going to be reading from the book of Matthew. So in your Bibles, or you'll want to have Matthew 18 open, or you can read up here on the wall. So Jesus is talking in Matthew 18. This is a bit of a longer read. And as we go through this, I want you to think about a word as we come to it. I don't think I'll give the word away just yet. Maybe I'll wait till we read first. I'll keep you in suspense. Matthew 18, we're going to start 1 through 3, but we're going to read quite a bit. So go ahead and open that up. And if you're using the Bible study app, there should be a signal that pops up that'll let you just pop to it, tap to it. But at this time, so we're reading about Jesus and the disciples. And the question was, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he, this is Jesus, called a child to himself and set him before them and said, truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You know how many people tell you to grow up? It's funny how that works. And Jesus says, no, the opposite. You need to become like a child. In verse 4, whoever humbles himself as this child, he's the greatest, or she is the greatest, in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, but whoever causes one of these little ones to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and he be drowned in the depths of the sea. You know, Proclaim had a graphic that showed a man with a giant millstone, but he was just this little tiny character. It didn't quite look proportional, so I didn't use it. But it gives you the idea. You know what a millstone is, that round stone that grinds the grain. It's made like a disc, and it's usually pretty heavy. It's usually 100 pounds for big ones. Small ones can be 50 pounds. And if you had one tied to you, it would be that would be the end if you went down under the sea. So he says in verse 7, woe to the world for stumbling blocks, things that cause people to fall over and fall short, or get hurt, or fall away. Okay, stumbling blocks. For it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to that man through whom the stumbling block comes. And he says, if your right hand causes you to stumble, what do you have to do to it, Royal? In verse 8, what does he say?
If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better to enter life maintained or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire.
Yeah, now I don't know that that's literal, but it's pretty powerful, right? We'll get there. You're onto the thought. What does it say in verse 9 and 10?
If your eye causes you to sin, turn it out and throw it from you. It is better for you to enter into life on earth than having two eyes to be thrown into a fire at hell.
Yeah. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that their angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think? If any man has 100 sheep and one's gone astray, that he does not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and search for the one that has been strayed? If he turns out that he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over the 99 now that have gone astray. Just that one, right? So it's not the will of the Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones would perish. If your brother sins, go show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you've won your brother. But if he does not listen, take a few, and by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every act may be confirmed. And if he refuses, take it to the church. And then, if he doesn't listen to the church, treat him as a Gentile or a tax collector, somebody on the outside. So truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by the Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered today, there I am in their midst. And Peter said, well, Lord, how often should we forgive someone? So how many times should I forgive somebody who sins against me?
A lot.
Yeah, that's a good answer. 7 times, because that was Jewish law. Jesus said 7 times 70. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts when he had the slave. You know this story. And he had one who owed him 10,000 and one, and he comes and the slave begs for mercy. And so he gives him mercy. Have patience, right? He goes, okay, well, I'm moved by that. I'll forgive your debt. And he goes out to a friend who owes him basically a day's wage, basically some wages. And he throws him into prison, as he throws his friend into prison. And then the king finds out, you know the rest of that story, right? The one who owed much, the 10,000 talents, was holding his friend in debtor's prison till he paid his debt back for $100, basically, for a day's wage. Man, oh man. That king, when he called him in verse 32 through 34, he says, wait, didn't I have mercy on you by forgiving you those 10,000 bucks that you owed me? Well, you're going to be tortured and you're going to go to debtor's prison until you pay me back the 10,000. So you have this person who didn't show mercy now getting the result of his actions. And so in verse 35, this is our key verse. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each one of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. That's a powerful verse right there. So you see mercy, this key word there. What do you think mercy is? Could include sympathy.
Mercy is not getting something that you deserve to get.
There you go. You read my notes. Yeah, it's not giving someone what they rightfully deserve. Mercy is not executing on something you could do. So someone chooses, a young man commits a petty theft in a store. And the store manager takes him to the office, and the policeman shows up and says, do you want to press charges? And this kid just melts. And what do you do with that? Well, the store owner or the store manager rightfully could press charges. Or if he sees that this kid is repentant and he really is scared to death, he really doesn't want to do this again, he might choose to say, I will not press charges. I want this person to change. I show mercy to them. Rightfully, he could send him to jail and he'd have a record. And he'd have to deal with that and his parents and all the fallout from that. But mercy is something that you give to someone.
But how much do you steal?
In a grocery store, something small. Obviously, some bigger item, maybe you might have to pay a consequence for that. Maybe you have to pay restitution where you pay the money for it. You know, there might be some consequences that don't involve a criminal record. But as far as what that store manager could do, offering mercy by not pressing charges, that's a pretty big deal. That's a pretty big deal. Another synonym up here would be compassion. You're going to hear that in a sermon coming up. Or forbearance. Forbear. For to go before someone and hold that burden, to share that burden instead of putting it all on their shoulders. Because think about this. Have you ever felt bad about something you've done? Isn't it nice when someone comes alongside you and can help you bear that so you can manage it and figure it out? Whatever the results are, it's always good to forbear. Sometimes we forbear others' difficulty towards us. And that's a tough thing because we have to be willing to offer mercy and forgiveness. It's not really the world's way. The world would say justice. The world would say, my rights. The world would say something rather harsh. But that's not the way the Christian ought to act. I'll tell you an interesting story. You guys know who General Lee is, right?
No.
General Robert E. Lee?
No.
Confederate. He was the chief, general-in-chief of the Confederate forces during the Civil War. Okay, well, he was a general and he had a lot of power and he was commanding all of these different forces. Well, when they lost that last battle and they were waiting for terms at Appomattox, so Grant had sent messengers and Lee had sent messengers back and forth, you know, hey, do you want to surrender yet? Hey, do you want to give up yet? And finally, Lee said, send them the message, we're willing to talk about surrender. Because he knew he couldn't, he was boxed in, he couldn't win. He was either going to, all of his men were going to die, or they could stop fighting and they could end the Civil War. So they go to the courthouse there where they're going to sign this agreement to stop the war. And Robert E. Lee gets dressed in his white, you know, dress. They call them your military nines, right? Dressed for the nine. You've got your shoes, you got the whole nine yards, all shiny, ready to walk up. And he's got a sword. Great big scabbard sword.
Does he have white hair?
He was an old man by then. He was older. So he walks up, and they're going to sign this agreement. Now, normally, when that happens, all the men have to lose their swords and their guns. And they go home with nothing. But Grant knew that if that happened, they would still be very bitter. And they might get picked on. And what will they do when they go back to rebuild their homes? They might not have an ability to take care of themselves, right? Because back then, you'd have to go rifle hunting, right, to get your meat. A lot of things you had to do by hand. So after they signed the agreement, Lee was going to offer him his sword, which is what he should have done by rights. And Grant said, no, you keep your sword, and the men can keep their sidearms, their small guns, but they have to turn in all the big guns, all the cannons, all the rifles. So they could keep their sidearm and their sword, so they could go home with their dignity. It said that Lee was so moved by that, that for the rest of his life, he worked very hard to bring unity from the South and the North. To tell people, look, we need to be one nation, no more division.
Are people in war right now?
I'm sorry?
Are people in war right now?
No, not in the U.S.
I mean, Antifa.
The media might make it sound like it's crazy, but that's not what's really happening in most cities. Most cities, people are peaceful.
They
call
it a peaceful protest. Does it make it a peaceful protest?
Oh, no, the one reporter called it a fiery peaceful protest because there was a building burning behind him. Like, that's not a peaceful protest. Peaceful protests don't involve the burning down of people's businesses. Yeah.
At least we did a good job of it.
That's true. Yeah. That's right.
Except for the mall thing. That was all.
Oh, and yeah, Scottsdale.
Yeah, but like, that was all me. Like,
yeah, they looted a bunch of stuff, but.
Our protest was peaceful.
I'm sorry?
My school's at Scottsdale.
Which, yeah, you're.
Tavon Elementary.
Yeah. So Robert E. Lee was going home, and as he was traveling back home, he was asked by a family to come to their house. And this woman, she walks out in the front yard. She says, look at this. This tree has been in my family for, you know, however many years. And it was destroyed by cannon fire from the north. What are you going to do about this, Robert E. Lee? This tree is destroyed. And he stood there and he looked at it for a few minutes and he was really quiet and he looked at it. And then he turned to the woman and he said, cut it down and burn it up and forget about it. And walked away. And that was all he said. Here was a lady who was from the South who was wanting reparation, right? She wanted her tree back. And here Robert E. Lee said, cut it down, forget about it. Just move on. He did a lot of work. For the rest of his life, he worked very hard to try to bring unity back to the country.
It's just a tree. It's a war.
Spot on. It's just a tree. So in Matthew 18, right? So my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from a heart. So think about it. We forgive from our heart. Why? Because we know God is watching. And whenever we harbor feelings like that, that are kind of negative, who do we end up hurting? Usually just ends up hurting ourselves. So you're better off forgiving and letting things go. In Matthew 5:7, up here on the wall, the Bible says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. That is a scripture that we need to recall. Matthew 6, right? For if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. See the connection there? We forgive, God forgives. We forgive, God forgives. And it helps to just relieve ourselves of the burden of trying to do it all by ourselves, trying to make ourselves, make things right, when in fact many times we recognize we've been wronged and there's not really much we can do except choose to forgive, choose to show mercy, choose to not seek revenge or seek some kind of justice. We let that be with God. Because, but if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. So cut it down and forget it. When we look at our past, we can't change it, right? I can't change yesterday, it's over. I can't change tomorrow because it's not here yet. Ulysses S. Grant, the general, the chief of the northern forces, of the northern command. He was the chief general in chief of the northern forces. Civil War, the North versus the South. Grant was the North, Lee was the South. The South lost, which is why we slowly gave up slavery. That was a very good thing. So maybe there's some things that you have in your past. This sounds more like a sermon, but cut it down and forget it. Move on. It takes away from your today when you dwell on the yesterday. So here's a question. What do I learn from these passages?
You have to be forgiving.
You have to be forgiving.
You need to have patience with people.
Patience with people, yeah. It's tough sometimes, yeah.
Nicer?
Yeah, be nice. That's a great idea. Wouldn't it be nice if people were nicer? I like that. What does this tell you about other people, about humanity? Could be, yeah. People that don't forgive usually are pretty bitter. They're not really happy people.
Well, if you truly believe God, then you would.
Yeah. Yeah. Do what the word says, yeah.
Oh, we make mistakes. That doesn't mean we're perfect. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, humanity. We're going, eventually someone somewhere is going to mess up. And it's probably going to be us at one point or another. When you looked at the passage that we read, Matthew 18:35, as the last one, that key one, is there something we should obey? Yeah, I think you nailed it right on the head. Simple to the point. And is there somebody that you know that might need to hear what you have to say? And maybe it's simple. Maybe it's, I forgive you.
Oh, I'm sorry in another way.
I'm sorry, yeah. You can word it a number of ways, but just something that shows.
Sometimes, you know, we have something we remember for such a long time, and it's hard to forgive, and it takes a longer time to forgive a lot of things.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But when you grow mature, and then you forgive more, you forget more, basically. Mm-hmm. A lot of things you just like, you know what, just leave it behind.
Yeah. Yeah, good idea. And here's one new item that I have added that I know we haven't learned before. But listen, is there a need? So when we were talking about the things, when we say, what are your needs? At the beginning of class, is there a need I learned about that I can support? Meaning, is there something I can do about it? So for example, if somebody prayed for somebody that needed school supplies, could we give them school supplies? Is there something, or maybe it's just to say a prayer for them. Is there something that we talked about at the beginning of class that we could actually affect?
Yeah.
Well, start from the bottom up, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let's have a short prayer then, and we'll ask God to forgive us and help us be more merciful to others. God, we love you. Thank you for helping us to live and to really be with us. And you guide us and you do so many good things. We thank you for all the many good things we enjoy, and help us recognize that it's your kindness that shares those with us. We thank you, Father, for the mercy you give to us. Help us to extend that mercy to others. We especially ask you to be with us when there are difficult things that cause us to just feel, you know, lots of things that we don't know sometimes what to do with. And so we ask you, Father, for that gentleness of heart and that kindness and that to be nice and to just do what is right. And especially, Father, when someone has done wrong to us, help us give them forgiveness and mercy back instead of repaying them the same. We pray for this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.